Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. U.S. consumer prices jumped a bigger-than-expected 0.8% in November, the sharpest climb in more than 2 years, and driven by surging energy costs. We'll discuss implications of the CPI report for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. Midwest direct hog prices today are called steady to as much as $1 per hundredweight lower on expectations of slower buying interest for next week. Terminals are called steady to 50 cents lower in a light volume test, tops from $33 to $39. Peoria called 50 cents lower today, with a top price of $33. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, December 13th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,573. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $42.50 to $54.98. The weighted average, $51.85, a loss of 6 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $32.84 to $42.39. The weighted average was $40.20. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 17,636. The base price range was $43 to $57.25. The weighted average was $54.43, a loss of 47 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $32.04 to $44, and the weighted average was $42.02. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. Another storm system is heading into the Plain States, and it's going to bring a mixed bag of precipitation here tonight into tomorrow. And looks like some snow for portions of Nebraska and Kansas into Oklahoma. Some heavy snow possible in southern into eastern Kansas and central to western Oklahoma. A little bit of rain on the eastern side of all that. So after some bouts of dryness, they've been getting more precipitation in the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, which is favorable for recharging the soil for when the wheat comes out of dormancy in the spring. And anywhere they get a snow cover, that'll be beneficial too for the winter wheat there. System is heading into the Ohio Valley and the Delta and Southeast. There will be likely some heavy rains falling over portions of the Delta tomorrow, and it looks like some of that will move into the Southeast. So some of the parched areas of Georgia and the Carolinas will get some needed rain. Not enough to end the drought, but the trend lately has been a little bit better. Looks like there might be a little of what we call cold air damming, so there could be some icing conditions in the Piedmont areas of Virginia into the Carolinas and Georgia with that system. Now, in the Ohio River Valley, mostly rain. Tennessee Valley, lots of rain. You go just north of the Ohio River a bit, and there will be a wintry mix of precipitation and then snow. And we'll get snow here, and snow will fall across the northern half of Indiana and much of western and northern Ohio, and in the even southern lower Michigan. So there will be some travel problems across the Midwest Corn Belt tomorrow into Sunday morning. The winds will pick up too. But after that, it looks like several dry days, maybe another weather system coming in with, at this point, it looks like rain around late Wednesday into Thursday. That is way off in the distance, but the bottom line is it looks like a few days of dry weather in between this next system that will bring some areas snow, and then that one coming in Wednesday night into Thursday. So nothing unusual for December showing up on the maps this morning. Now, of course, we like to sometimes look to the southern hemisphere and see what's going on down there in South America, and it's been pretty hot lately over Argentina and the western growing areas of Brazil, and especially western Argentina. We're looking at high temperatures in those areas that have been anywhere from the middle 90s up to, even in a few cases, the low 100s. So that's helping dry things out. as we go through time, the drying rates have been pretty high in Argentina. Now, there was some rain over the last 24 hours. It appears that in some of the central and southern growing areas of Argentina, thunderstorms fell. And maybe the coverage being a little bit higher than what was anticipated. Because what we talked about is Thursday into Friday, there would be some isolated thunderstorms in Argentina that would improve the conditions in some fields and not others. But it does look like now that maybe a few more fields got rain than first thought. But still, it's going to be a case where some places are wet, others are dry. It does look like, though, some thunderstorms did occur in Cordoba and Buenos Aires and southern Santa Fe. And those are places that really need the rain. And in northeast La Pampa, apparently a reporting station, we don't get many reports from down there, but at least one reporting station got over an inch there. So basically a little break in the drying trend for some of the crop areas of Argentina, but the long-term forecast is still not that beneficial. It does look like dry weather is still, or a bias toward dryness is still in the offing for Argentina. Rain chances are much better as we go into next week in Brazil. But of course, even there, there's going to be some issues with some places not getting enough rain. But it looks like the middle of the Brazilian bean belt is in good shape. The northeast a little dry and the far south a little dry. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ted Keezer.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat open at 9.79 1/4, down 3 3/4. Last trade up 5 1/4. The Board of Trade December wheat 9.37 up 3. Last trade up 9 1/4. July 7.99 1/2, down 8. Last trade up 1/2. December corn 4.17 1/2, down 1 1/4. Last trade up 2 1/4. July 4.52 down 1. Last trade up 2 1/4. December 4.50 down 3/4. Last trade up 1/4. January beans 11.46 unchanged. Last trade up 5. July 11.81 3/4 down 3/4. Last trade up 4 1/2. November 10.54 down 1/2. Last trade up 4 1/4. December soybean meal 3.19.30 down 1.90. Last trade down 1.90. January soybean oil 46.20 down 6. Last trade up 12. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
We had CPI data out this morning, a jump of 0.8% for November, and energy driving those costs higher. It was 70% of the accounted for 70% of the increase in the CPI. What will traders in the grain pits think about this?
Well, I would imagine they'll probably figure there aren't going to be any more rate cuts coming. And we can see that reaction with the American dollar. It did jump this morning. It's, granted, it's at 77.20 right at this moment and up against some pretty strong resistance. But they're certainly going to be concerned about it. I don't know if that'll be offset by the fact that, you know, the Senate did pass the energy bill, and it does call for more ethanol, even though it's not, you know, an unlimited amount of ethanol usage.
All right, then. Also of note today is the fact that it is the last day for December contracts. If there is a pit that will have fireworks, which will it be?
Well, I have to think that it's probably going to be the wheat pit where the fireworks have been going on forever. I mean, we just don't seem to see any slowdown in that market, and you can understand it. I mean, we've got good exports, dwindling world stocks numbers, and certainly a weather forecast that doesn't look very attractive as far as expanding that the inventories in that particular crop. I think, too, you know, when you look at the, and that'll trickle down. I mean, we'll see wheat be pretty pretty interesting, and that'll come right back into the corn pit.
One other thing that we're picking up rumors on is that the index funds are going to reallocate more money to corn in the next couple of months.
Well, that's certainly the talk, and I believe it to be true. I saw some additional some talk yesterday about $10 billion more dollars coming in. Now, man, you know, that sounds like a lot of money to us, but when you look at the overall investment that they have, it isn't huge. But I believe that we're going to see more coming in. When you look at the fact that the returns in the commodities and just in general, commodities overall have had better returns than what we've seen coming out of the stock market this year, I cannot believe that they're going to be bringing more money in.
And then the calls today?
Well, for corn, we're calling them up 2 to 3, beans 4 to 6, wheat up 5 to 10. And when we look at the live cattle, we're looking pretty weak. You know, some follow-through selling coming out of Thursday just because of the weak cash and the slowdown that we're seeing in some of the kills. On hogs, mixed. Yeah, we got a lot of heavy bookings coming in. You know, the holiday always messes things up, and we've got guys that are trying to push hogs forward ahead of that Christmas time.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. She joins us every Friday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.